Live from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Kickoff of Monday Night Football. You hear the music, get you in the mood. Front yard, Ellis Island. Kickoff just minutes away. Jeff Parles is the company. It's Cofield on the scene in the front yard, Ellis Island. It's all brought to you by Boomer Sportsbook. Right now, Boomers has the Cardinals plus +3. There is a heavier price on the Cowboys side to take the Cowboys minus -3. Moneyline, Cowboys minus -175. Total is 53.5. Lots of football to get to this hour. Football Insider, Caleb Herring coming up in about 20 minutes on UNLV and look around the National Football League. But let's bring in one of our Boomers insiders, of course, works with VGK, great on hockey, and we want to talk some betting here and also what's happening with Boomers with Gary Lawless to start off this 5 o'clock hour. Gary, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Steve, how you doing, pal?
Pretty good, pretty good. It was a crazy week 9 around the National Football League. Before we recap, let's look at this game in a couple of minutes. What are you doing tonight? You got some bets at Boomers for Arizona and the Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't think Arizona can score, so I am going to take Dallas -3, and I'm going to take the under at 53.5. I actually put it together into a little same-game parlay. I didn't have a third leg, so I couldn't get the Boomers 25% bonus, but I like Dallas -3, and I like the under. I don't think Arizona is going to put any points on the board. I think Dak Prescott is going to shred the Cardinals.
The weekend wasn't easy. In the NFL, what'd you play?
Well, it was 0-0 with 3 minutes left in the half of the Raiders game. So I looked at the under, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll jump on that. And what was the final? 39-36? Something crazy like that?
30-29.
Yeah, sorry, 30-29. Yeah, like, yeah. So I got crushed there, and UNLV let me down as well. So I have had a ton of luck with Texas Tech in college football, and they bailed me out yesterday or Saturday. I was having a terrible Saturday, and it turned out I was going to have a terrible Sunday, but I put more units on Texas Tech and the over than I normally do, and it cashed and made the rest of the weekend a wash. So thank God for Texas Tech. I wonder what's going to happen to them. Like, they're good. I hope they get a chance to compete in the playoffs and make something special happen. It could be a team of destiny.
Yeah, they have Texas. Check that. They have BYU this weekend. Then their schedule gets pretty easy. If they were to make the title game and lose, I think as long as it is close, I think they still have a chance to get an at-large CFP bid. I mean, a lot of this weekend was elimination spots. I know you got involved on Oklahoma and Tennessee, right?
Yeah, I forgot about that. Tennessee, they let me down as well. So
that's the way it goes, man. It's tough.
And so did the Chiefs on Sunday. I thought the Chiefs were going to give at home. I thought they were going to beat Buffalo, and it's got me wondering. Like, I have the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl again. It's got me wondering. Maybe Buffalo is better than them this year.
What do you think, based on what you saw? The Bills have just simply not been able to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. Did they show yesterday, and again, a regular season spot, they win, that they will get it done this year?
I still don't like their defense, but the big question is, did Kansas City get old, right? Like, they've got some people at key positions that have been there for a long time, and sometimes those guys, that experience is great in a playoff setting, and sometimes the body just can't cash the check that the mind is writing. So I'm not ready to give up on Kansas City just yet, but and we're only halfway through, right? We got a lot of football to go. They're going to have to find a second win, and I don't know if they can.
Hey, Gary, which upset surprised you more yesterday? Minnesota going to Detroit and upsetting the Lions, or Carolina going to Green Bay and upsetting the Packers?
Carolina going to Green Bay. I don't know why. I probably should have bet that game. I'm glad I didn't. But that was more of a surprise for me. Although Minnesota, they're in and out. They're so up and down. If Detroit, if they're really talking about being for real, they got to win games like that. And, who's the best team in the NFL? It is so hard to handicap that right now. I don't have a clear favorite right now, the team that you look at and go, that looks like a Super Bowl football team. No, nobody has been consistent, in my view.
I want to go to another NFC North team real quick, the only one we haven't mentioned, and that was the Bears, who played what was quite possibly the most ridiculous game we've seen all year somehow, after giving up 15 points in 40 seconds, find a way, get the long touchdown to Loveland to bail themselves out and win 47-42 in Cincinnati. Gary, you buying the Bears? They're tied. They're in this thing right now in the NFC playoff mix.
I'm not sure their quarterback can win a conference championship game, but why not? Like I've said, there's nobody that is really, like, who stands out to you. Like, I think that they really do have a chance to be a playoff team, that's for sure. So it's going to be fun to watch them the rest of the way. Absolutely.
Gary Lellis up on Cofield & Company, ESPN Las Vegas, hanging out at Ellis Island in the front yard, getting ready for Cowboys and Cardinals. It's brought to you by Boomer Sportsbook. You want to find out more about them and how to download the app and get that massive bonus. Search on socials for Bet with Boomer. All right, we do have a bet, Gary. I don't know if you forgot about it, but your Steelers, man. You know, this is the 5 wins now through 8 games. That was a big one yesterday for me.
They're a playoff team right now. They're first in the AFC North. Like, they might win the North.
They might. I'm not crowing too loud, though. I mean, that was a good one to steal yesterday. Imagine if the defense can actually show up, like, to the tradition of Steeler defense the rest of the way. This actually could be a good season.
Well, except for, and this is, as a Steelers fan, I've said this all along, they're not going to, like, let's say they win the North. Are they going to win a playoff game? I don't believe in Aaron Rodgers at this stage. So, like, I think it's just going to be a waste of a year. I think that they're going to get our hopes up, and then they're going to break our hearts in January. So I would have preferred to have taken a dive this year and had a better draft pick. But at 5-3, looks, what was the bet? Like, I'm going to have to
nine.
Do something here.
Nine's a push. Nine, I got to get over 9. So I got to get 10 wins out of them. You got to get 8 wins or less. Otherwise, it's a push.
How do they not? They're going to win 5 more games.
I think.
Maybe depending on. No, I hope not. But I'm cheering against my own team. Like, this is, why did I do this? This is a terrible idea from my perspective.
You're in quite the pickle here. Let's remind people, Gary Lawless, that Boomers has a great Vegas hockey giveaway that's good through November 9th if you're playing up on the app, or if you're betting here at Ellis Island or Casino Valle Verde, a chance to go see some Vegas hockey.
Yeah, they got some tickets on the line, so fantastic promotion. I'll tell you what, it's really fun to watch the growth of Boomers. There's a lot of talk about it around town, and Joe Asher and the gang have done they're constantly doing things to make it better for the better, for the customer. Minus 105 spreads, the $250 first deposit match, bonus match. Now this bonus on single game parlays. There's all kinds of great ways that make it the pricing better and the opportunity better for the customer. It truly is the place for Nevadans.
Let's look ahead. I know you're not a big fan of betting too early, but it is a Thursday night game. Broncos are laying a big number against the Raiders. How are you feeling about the Raiders now? Can they get off the deck and compete in Denver?
I bet them this weekend too, right? Yeah, I bet the under in their game, and that didn't work out for me very well. What's the spread? What's the number at right now?
Sitting at 10.
Oh, I would take Denver in the points.
How come?
Well, they're 7-2, for one. But that, like, they're pretty good. The Raiders are 2-6. I actually think that the Broncos will score against the Raiders, and despite the fact that the Raiders put up 29 points this weekend, you know, it's an exercise in futility quite often with Geno Smith and this offense. Maybe they've caught fire. I don't think so. I like the Broncos.
And let me get the latest updated number. It's actually 9, minus 9 with Denver.
Well, I really like it now.
How about Pittsburgh now with a little bit of momentum going to L.A., getting 3 against the Chargers, and I will guarantee you there will be at least 20, I'll be aggressive, 20,000 Steeler fans there. It's going to be a split environment at SoFi.
Well, the Chargers are 6-3. And this will be a good game. What's this? The Steelers are giving away 3?
No. Steelers are getting 3.
Getting 3. I'm taking the Steelers.
The
I'm taking the Steelers and betting against myself in another, like, it's bet against yourself and then bet against yourself and then bet against yourself again. I'm a pretzel. Yes. I am a gambling pretzel right now.
A gambling pretzel. All right, let's close strong on a couple of things with Boomers and Ellis. I saw you on social media the other day talking about new deposit options at Boomer Sportsbook. What's going on?
Well, you can do it. You can do it with your debit card on your phone now. You have to your first deposit and your sign up. You have to go to Ellis Island or Valley Verde. But after that, you can put your debit card on your phone and you can make a deposit, and you don't have to go anywhere to continue having your fun while you're watching games.
Gary, tell me what you saw on Friday with the Knights and the. Who was it? Colorado. I don't know why I was thinking the Coyotes. They don't even exist anymore. But the Avalanche, and now what this homestand is going to mean.
The Avalanche are the best opponent that Vegas has seen all year. They were very good. Vegas was just okay. But the Golden Knights are going to have Noah Hanifin and potentially Colton Sissons back for tomorrow night against Detroit. This homestand's important. Anaheim has won 3 in a row. The Oilers have gotten off the map. Seattle keeps winning. If Vegas could wake up in a wild, they're in second right now in the Pacific. They've been in first for a long time, and while they've been idle, they've been passed. But they could wake up in a wild card spot tomorrow. They've got to keep winning. There's a lot of young teams that are very improved. Anaheim being one of them, Detroit being one of them. So it's time to stack some wins together so that when Mark Stone gets back in a while, this team is right around the top, and then they can really take off.
I'm here at Ellis at the front yard for another 2 hours and 45 minutes, just enough time to potentially chow down and maybe break the record for the all-you-can-eat menu. I saw the other day up on IG with Boomer that you did some wing sampling. What was going on there?
They brought a bunch of wings out and they were all different flavors. They didn't tell me what they were, and I had to guess. And I'm embarrassed to say I was 4 for 4. I was perfect. That's not a good thing.
That is a good thing.
To sniff a wing and know what the flavor is, that it's not a good thing. No.
But they were delicious.
They were delicious. And they said they made some ribs for me, too. That they didn't do any social on that. The ribs were fall off the bone. They were delicious. Yeah. So
they're barbecue. I mean, once they get the barbecue joint up and running here again, you can still get barbecue at the Village Pub. But once they get it up and running, and they're going to have a dedicated space for that, that stuff is just awesome.
It's excellent. I love the atmosphere there. The people that work there. The service is excellent. It's always a really fun vibe, good atmosphere. TVs are fantastic. The food's great. It's an excellent place to go watch a game. I'm disappointed that I didn't get to come down tonight, but my daughter had hockey practice.
Next time. Yeah, you're busy. You're busy. Gary, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you, buddy. Thanks for being flexible, too.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
There he is. Gary Lawless, VGK Insider, Boomer Sportsbook Insider. Chance to call in now to win some tickets before you can buy them. AC/DC is back in 2026. Allegiant Stadium tickets go on sale on Friday at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com. Ticketmaster.com for AC/DC tickets at the Al. Caller 7 right now. Caller 7. 364-1100. 364-1100.
Now back to Cofield and Company for Monday Night Football at the Front Yard inside Ellis Island Casino on ESPN Las Vegas.
Front Yard, Ellis Island, Monday Night Football has begun. 4 minutes in. Cowboys on the move inside the 10-yard line. You can get in the game in play with Boomer Sportsbook. They had a great special over the weekend. Rebels Moneyline, minus 170. Great specials don't always mean great wins in betting. That was a rough one. Caleb Herring is up with us, the former Rebel, former quarterback for UNLV, one of the voices on radio, and as it turned out this weekend, on TV. Nice job on the broadcast on Silver State Sports and Entertainment Network. Caleb, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. I'm glad a lot of the viewers enjoyed the television broadcast, at least the Vegas fans, getting to see the television copy with some voices that are more familiar with the roster. I think it's kind of the consensus I got from the Vegas community, but it was fun. It was fun for me to get to do the TV copy, and it was hopefully something I can do more in the future.
Well, the loss was disappointing on a lot of fronts. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of the game in that 40-35 loss against New Mexico, but now that the Mountain West Conference picture looks completely out of control, it stings even more.
Yeah, I got to give you credit. We've talked about this off air all season long from the beginning, where this conference is so competitive. The margin of difference between number one and, you know, number eight, even going as far as number nine in this conference in terms of who can beat who in any given week, we knew it was coming. And everybody this year seems like it's playing each other, just carnage at the end of the season. So, winning out was something that we talked about in the past where, you know, we actually lost to Boise State, but we knew it would be a gauntlet for them. The assumption that Boise State or San Diego State or anybody is going to win out is just, I think at this point, it's far-fetched. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So there's still opportunity. I don't think anybody at this point outside of San Diego State controls their own destiny. Everything else is you're going to need some help to achieve your goals. You're going to need to get another loss from somebody somewhere or a tiebreak down the stretch. So, it's the Mountain West Conference, and we kind of knew as insiders that it was going to be this way down the stretch.
Caleb Herring on ESPN Las Vegas. All right, overview, what happened this week with the Rebel defense?
Oh, boy. I think initially, and from where I sat and watching the game, I think initially I will have to give credit. The 21-point run that New Mexico went on, I think was, yes, the defensive woes that we've seen all season long, and we know defense has been an issue. Paul Gunther has been questioned just about every game this year. The defense has given up a boatload of points here recently, especially, but all year, really. But I don't think the beginning, and I'm going to give New Mexico a ton of credit here, because I think Jason Heck did a great job of getting a game plan ready and dialing up a script of plays that absolutely exploited the things that we knew were weaknesses for UNLV. And I think that's what you saw with the early explosion of offense from New Mexico that really was the difference in the game. I mean, they won the game in the first quarter, basically with the cushion that they were able to create and the desperation they were able to force for UNLV. That was the first takeaway from this most recent loss. The second was, this is the first time of all the times UNLV's been down and trailing and had to come back, it's the first time that I saw the body language of the team dip. I think this time more than other times, I saw the life really get sucked out of the team when it was 21-0 on the scoreboard. That kickoff that I think Jalen Glover ended up returning it and getting a big return which kind of maybe sparked them up. But before that, in the timeout before that, I think I saw a little bit of give up scattered throughout the field. And I nobody in particular, but the body language of the entire team, I think, had some quit a little bit. And I hate to say that because it's something I look for. You know, I'm a body language guy. And when I see it, I got to call it. And I saw a little bit of quit. And fortunately, Glover had that return that kind of picked everybody up off the mat. Offense goes down and scores two consecutive touchdowns basically in a few minutes. And then the pick six got everybody's spirits back into the game. So I saw that, though, as a facet. And then obviously the same issues that we've talked about with the defense, assignment football, discipline, gap integrity, coverage communication. There were several times, you know, we defensively couldn't get lined up. It seems like appropriately to the formation they were facing. And Nemechka made them pay.
Caleb Herring on ESPN Las Vegas, breaking down a rough game for UNLV. Lose it 40-35. Second loss in conference. The conference is just chaotic right now. A little more on the defense on the explosive plays. You can go one by one here. New Mexico had a 58-yard quarterback run. They also had pass receptions of 84 and 80 yards. What happened to the D on those?
I think, well, the first screen play was a well-designed play by New Mexico. And I think if you have a two-back system, it's something that is familiar. I don't know the full breakdown of the film if New Mexico has shown this, but it was one of those plays that I feel like was sort of a special gadget play. That's not necessarily a trick play, but just something that you tweak in your offense to create a certain look from the defense and then take advantage of it. Motioning one of the running backs in across the formation, sort of an orbit motion, faking to the first running back, kind of getting the motion flowing to the front side of that play, and then throwing and setting up the screen on the backside. I think UNLV up into this game in the season has shown a kind of a vulnerability to screens. Everybody that's run a screen against us has had success against it. And that's, I think, something that you could tell based on some of the play calling that Nemechko had. They may be just a screen team, but they threw a lot of screen passes throughout the course of the game where they were trying to exploit UNLV defensively. Towards the end of the game, UNLV got much better and I think snuffed out the screens, and that was a part of the comeback in the second half defensive effort. But that screen in particular, the 80-plus yarder, that was the longest reception for Bankston on his career. That was what I saw on that one. Obviously, a tight end on the 12-yard touchdown, again, another gadget play where you're sneaking the tight end out after a heavy run fake, kind of just drifting with the quarterback and just buying time for the defense to clear out, and then you leak out as an eligible receiver late. And it's not the starting tight end. It's a tight end, maybe third on the depth chart or something. So he's not really in the game plan. So, I will credit that to a gadget play. Kudos, credit to New Mexico for making that connection happen. The 84-yard post, I believe that was the deep shot to Keegan Johnson, who had a career day. From what I see, I don't know what the coverage was intended to be, but the behavior of Jaheim Joseph in coverage led me to believe he was expecting help to the post. And usually when you do that, you kind of give up a little bit of the inside leverage and you're willing to kind of funnel a guy to that help. But he completely opened the gate. If you're going to let him cross space, at least make it tough for him to cross space. Kind of a double move, a little nod to the corner and then straight to the post. And he had all kinds of feel to just run away from Joseph after making the catch. So I would credit that to a coverage bust, whether it was.
Did we lose Caleb? Well, that play was shocking because that was one of many plays this year where a cornerback or safety is chasing after someone wide open. And the easy thing to do as a layman is go, hey, they blew the coverage. But, there's a jailbreak like that, there's some miscommunication. There's an issue there. All right, quick timeout. We're going to come back, talk a little college basketball, continue on the NFL, see if we can get Caleb Herring up for a few more minutes here on Cofield & Company, live front yard, Ellis Island on ESPN Las Vegas.
Now back to Cofield & Company for Monday Night Football at the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cowboys stymied inside the 10. Now the Cardinals have the ball, trying to matriculate down the field. But scoreless game, about 5 minutes left in the first quarter. It's giveaway time. 364-1100, 364-1100. Caller 7. You get UNLV football tickets for the game on the 15th. 2 weeks. Utah State's in town. 4 o'clock kickoff. You can grab your tickets at UNLVtickets.com if you do not win these. Utah State in town against UNLV. 364-1100, caller 7. Caleb Herring back with us. Caleb? Let me follow up with some talk about postgame and the struggles on defense. What are your thoughts on Dan Mullen taking all of the blame for some errors by his defensive players and the mounting criticism for DC Paul Gunther?
Well, I think it's the right thing to do as the head coach, as the captain of the ship, essentially. You it's all on you at the end of the day. I think what he communicated from what I heard was a very very honest assessment and understanding of that fact. Now, how much it actually is his fault, we could kind of read it to the lines. But I would say he's been consistent all year long. Maybe it's because I get the benefit of hearing him live on our broadcast every halftime, every postgame when you get to speak with him. He's been honest about the fact that the issue was coaching. Maybe this game was the first time he said, personally, me, I'm the one who got to take blame for it. But he's been honest about the coaching that has been done. Has it been enough? And they got to put their players in better situations on the defensive side, especially. As recent as this coaching show, this past Thursday, he kind of said, like, hey, are we really asking our guys to do things that they're capable of doing? And that was a part of their assessment during the bye week. Obviously, I think there's still a little bit of a disconnect there, but his statements have been consistent. The issue he's addressed publicly, and maybe he was doing it to protect against the questions about Paul Gunther, is how I interpret it. He kind of got the cart out in front of the horse there, where he kind of knows the defense is struggling. I want my coordinators to feel like I have their support, or they have my support, so I'm going to say it's the coaching and then take the brunt of the blame for it. And there's something to be said about that, kind of keeping a peace within the organization. But as a head coach, that's the right thing to do. And I would say the same for a quarterback. He's blaming himself for the offensive woes, even though it might not completely be the quarterback's fault. As the leader of that unit, it's your job to take the responsibility, good or bad, for those situations.
Caleb Herring on ESPN Las Vegas. Let's talk about a positive, and that was Anthony Calandre, who was sick as a dog up until game time. They make the decision to play him, and he went out and had an awesome game. He did fumble once. I don't know what happened on the other fumble, running back, quarterback exchange, but started out like 21-24, threw for 380, rushed for 41, got some key third downs, threw three more touchdown passes, and now sits in the top 20, still sits in the top 20 in the PFF quarterback rankings. He is the best quarterback in the conference to this point. He's having an amazing season.
He's having a phenomenal season. And, yeah, I mean, going back to the only real mistakes, I guess, errors that he made was the fumble on the scramble. And then, as I mentioned before, the quarterback has to take the blame. The mesh point was there's a miscommunication, but it's on the quarterback. And that's, as a former quarterback, I say these things that maybe sound critical of his performances, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles when you need a QB. You can play a great game, but you're still going to receive criticism for that mistake. I will give him that fumble too. So two fumbles. Outside of that, he did everything you need a quarterback to do to win a game. He did even some more special things that you don't even ask a quarterback to do, but he's able to do and make the plays. He's been stellar. I think there was kind of mixed expectations. I had said before the season that I thought that the quarterback room, regardless of who started at the end of the quarterback competition, was going to be better than it had been in years past. As crazy as that was with how good Hodge Malik Williams was last year, how good Jaden Maiava was the year before that, I felt like the talent that Calandre had coming in and what I saw in the spring was going to be great quarterback play for this team. Also, with the combination of Dan Mullen's offense and Corey Dennis's play calling, I think have elevated the quarterback play exponentially this season. He deserves a lot of individual credit for the things that have happened offensively. He is the engine that makes it go. I don't know if Orgy would be able to do the same things he's been able to do, but also just the growth he's shown and the maturity and the efficiency. I think you mentioned it, 21 of 24 at one point in the ball game he was on fire. And if not for the ending of the game where it was desperation mode, I think he would have continued to be that efficient. But he deserves everything he's getting as far as accolades. Now the issue is for UNLV, you got a group of five, group of six player that performs this well. He's going to get national attention. And can you retain him? He's got eligibility left, and I'm sure he's going to be a hot commodity on the transfer portal market if nobody's already enticed him to think about leaving UNLV. But he's worth doing what you can to keep.
Caleb, just shifting gears real quick, one of the biggest shockers yesterday in the NFL, Packers get beat at home by Carolina. But even more so than the loss, they lose Kraft for the year, who has been Jordan Love's best target. How much are we downgrading the Packers off this now?
Going into this week and for the last couple of weeks, I've had questions about the Packers. I don't fully trust Jordan Love. And you see, the performance he gave last week in their win was stellar. Like, he was on fire at one point in the game. I think he had like 15 straight completions, and it was like, that's what we need. That's what you could see from the Packers. But this past game, the offense in general, but Love in particular, just didn't look as confident and didn't move with as much conviction. I think a lot of that has to do with the running game not being there. Also, losing Kraft, who was the leading receiver for Jordan Love, was a big blow, I think, to the morale of the team. Not having him going forward, because he's confirmed out with an ACL for the rest of the year, that is going to change the outlook of the offense. The NFC, especially the North, has become more competitive. The Bears winning, the Vikings, J.J. McCarthy back, and they look like a completely better team this past week offensively. So there's a lot of reason that you could have doubt as a Packer fan. So I'm on the fence. I have to see what this offense looks with a full week of game planning without Kraft. But I think he was having the best season of a tight end. Now Bowers is back, so he's the best tight end for sure. But Kraft was up there for the best tight ends in all of the NFL. If he's going to be missing, any offense is going to suffer for it.
Kyler Bracebot, sorry about the phone issues there, but glad you came back on with us, and I will see you soon at the Dan Mullen Radio Show on Thursday.
All right, guys, looking forward to it. Take care.
There he is, the former Rebel, breaking down the 6-2 Dan Mullen squad. Kind of hard to believe that they're 6-2 and people are, you know, really mad. This guy is falling. College football update. We're going to have a conversation here with Leon Rice as 8 Mountain West Conference teams are in action tonight to open the season. Yep, college basketball is opening. Arizona over at T-Mobile right now in the first part of a doubleheader, up 63-58 on Florida, about 11 minutes left. You ready to bet college basketball?
Oh, absolutely. Come on now.
Let's go. That's a really good matchup. And then A.J. DeBanza, one of the top 3 freshmen in the country, will be showcased with a really good BYU team against Villanova. Like I said, 8 Mountain West Conference schools in action tonight. UNLV basketball starts out tonight, tomorrow night. Regular season action against UT Martin over at the Thomas and Mack. Had a chance to talk to Leon Rice about the Boise State season and the challenges. You know, now these scrimmages are out in the open, in public, and we talked about some of the challenges of doing that.
There's things we don't even have in that come up in a game, and I'm like, well, we haven't even worked on our press break yet. This is not good. So, but that's, you know, that's the way new college is. And people are reading into results of exhibitions, results of scrimmages. You know, coaches get what they want out of those things. And, you know, some coaches need to win those things. Some coaches need to see everybody. It's just always different. And so you can't overreact too much to any of that. Like UNLV, they went up and played Washington.
Yeah.
Well, they got probably 5 guys that are out, I think.
Yeah,
and so it's not the UNLV team you're going to see. Granted, Washington is really good. We're actually playing them this weekend, so that'll be a really good test for us. Ours is going to be more of behind closed doors kind of thing, and which I really like because you can get more things done and when it's done in the dark.
Yeah, I heard Danny Sprinkle say after the game, he's like, they played a lot of zone against us. I had no idea they were playing. We don't have any of our zone stuff in yet. I was like, okay.
And that's valid because a lot of times when they're closed doors, you have an agreement with that other coach, like, hey, don't run zone. We don't want to prepare for it. We haven't got, or whatever it might be. But when you're playing in front of people, you just kind of have to roll with it. Like we're up 14 with 2 minutes to go in the idle game. I couldn't yell down and tell him, well, don't press. We haven't put our press break in, but, you know, because he's trying to win, and I get it. And then I went, uh-oh. I had a bunch of freshmen out there with no press break. Like, good luck, guys.
Talk about the closed door. You can get more done and, you know, kind of work on those things. But somehow the winning coach always seems to get the results out somehow. How does that happen?
Well, Yeah,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But we've done, you know, we've done some private ones that no one, that we did a pretty good job. But this day and age, it seems like everything gets out. I have one buddy in coaching said, oh, yeah, we're doing a scrimmage. And, it, you know, we've made it, you know, we talked to our players and their players, and it's not going to get out. And I'm like, yeah, good luck with that. And I said, I'll bet you $100 I can get it out.
We've talked to some other coaches about kind of the balance of the having a football program. Sometimes you carry the burden. Sometimes the football program does. With you guys, two great programs. But also,
thank you.
The opportunity to do what you did, you know, we talked about last weekend, where it's a whole weekend of just, hey, we got basketball, we got football.
No,
how nice
special.
Is that for you guys to be able to do that?
It was a special weekend in Boise. And I remember when I first got there, I was like, God, if I can ever play like Friday night before a football game, everybody's in town. There's a buzz about it. There's an energy in the air. And that's what we were able to do. So it was a great weekend. And, you know, like we were talking about before we went on, is usually a lot of Mountain West games get put at night. You know, and to have a 1:30 game in Boise, Idaho with the sunshine. And I mean, it was just a beautiful day for college football. And I know.
I didn't see what happened. I didn't know the result, so I'm not sure exactly what happened in that game.
Be careful.
Yeah,
you're on Vegas Airwaves. You know that, Leon. Leon Rice is with us. Be careful.
Much respect for what Vegas has done in football, especially these last 2 years, you know, and what Coach Mullen, you know, that's a winner that they have coaching that team right now. And it shows up when, like, you know, everyone's like, well, they haven't done this, and they're deep in the on and on. And I'm like, yeah, but the most important thing is they keep winning. Yeah. Like, that guy knows how to win.
Well, the feedback after the game, because Boise had a great second half and Dylan Riley went crazy, was, hey, the defensive coordinator's not getting it done. Get rid of him. I'm like, okay, they're 6-1. Realize where you were. The other thing is what they've done for Mario Odom the moment. It's crazy. They've turned over the roster like 55 players 3 years in a row.
Right.
Successful and a new coaching staff.
Right. It's
like, folks,
phenomenal.
This is not easy.
No, it's crazy. And, you know, it's hard enough in basketball where you have 13, 15 players or whatever, but 8 or 10 that play. But to do it with a football program and all that goes into it, and, you know, just to get them lined up right and get the special teams right and all the things that go into a program, for them to do what they've done is so impressive, and to be 6-0, I mean, that was, you know, they're a good football team, and because they have a great football coach.
So in both sports, you want to be able to show up at practice, and you know you've got whatever the core is. You have two or three guys or more in football who are consistent. They're going to show up. They're going to be consistent every day. For you, what is life like now without Tyson Degenhardt? Because he seemed to be there for 10 years.
And you lost, like you said, you hit it on the head. Is that's his greatest quality. It was every day. You know, for a guy that would always score 18 to 25, it's amazing because he only scored over 30 one time.
Wow.
But it was his consistency. And so this day and age, you can't plan your rosters too far in advance anymore. But with Tyson, we knew this was coming, and we knew he was leaving us. So we had a couple red shirts. We brought in some transfers. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to replace was some consistency. And we got a transfer from Lehigh, who redshirted for us last year. He kind of provides that. Drew from Georgetown is going to be a really good big guy. And, you know, we got Ethan, who redshirted last year. Javen, who's healthy now. So, you know, we had it planned. And but life without maybe the best player in the history of our program will be an adjustment, but I feel like we've adjusted as good as you can adjust.
I know you don't want to recruit a new team every year. It's kind of the reality what a lot of coaches deal with now, though. It's a new team every year, and you can find, hey, this guy can score, this guy can rebound, all those things. How hard is it to find that guy that's going to be consistent, that's going to show up every day,
right?
Like, to identify that guy in recruiting and not be able to know we're going to have him a long time. Like, we just need to bring him in. How hard is that?
And that's really hard in the fact that the portal, the recruiting is done in a snap.
Yeah.
So, if you know, that's the value of my staff, is I got some old heads and a lot of connected guys, so they can really dig in and figure out what a player's about. But, you know, I was a junior college coach. So when I left the junior college at Yakima Valley to go to Gonzaga, I remember thinking, man, the one thing I'm not going to miss about coaching at JUCO is replacing a team every year. You'd have a great year, and you're like, well, everybody's gone. Well, guess what I'm doing now? You know, or guess what we're doing now in college basketball? We had a good nucleus back, so we just had to bring in a few pieces here and there. But it does change the chemistry of your team when you lose two of your mainstays or three of your mainstays, and then guys' roles change. So there is a big adjustment that way. But I couldn't, you know, there's a handful more programs than you would think that had to bring in whole new teams.
Yeah.
And you know, UNLV.
Got one guy back.
One guy. New Mexico, everyone. Baylor, everyone. I mean, that is crazy. I can't, like, even at JUCO, we had some guys that, you know, flunked some classes, had to go 7 years, and gave me the benefit of some returners. So,
Leon Rice on ESPN Las Vegas with Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. A lot of the coaches are having to replace point guard, and that's really difficult. And you can go into the portal, you can get a good point guard, but you got to get the right guy.
Yeah.
So did you get the right guy?
Oh, boy, did we ever. And two of them, you know, because we got one veteran, you know, in Dylan, who played at UCLA, started 62 games. And so you got that experience that you need at that position. And then we got a dynamic freshman who I'm really, really pleased with. And his growth has been amazing. And really proud of Dylan, how he kind of took him under his wing. And, you know, so we got, I feel like we did really, really well there, because we lost the, you know, single season assist leader in the history of our school, you know, Alvaro Cardenas, that this league's pretty familiar with, and we got to have him his best year, you know, as a senior. So that was another important piece that we had to get, and we got a more than one, which is really gonna help us.
What are we doing with Andrew Meadow and the hair and the glasses? He might change up the glasses.
He can't change up the glasses.
No?
He said he would shoot a million air balls if he if he took off the glasses.
I just figured different rims, new look.
No, he looks great, but I was mad that he cut the hair.
Oh,
I like the
about
hair.
It last year.
Yeah, that's right. So, but yeah, he's grown. He's gotten better. He, you know, that growth that you see in the development when guys stay in our program, and you're going to see a really good player with Andrew. You saw that last year. His last 15 games, I think he averaged about 16, 17 points, and maybe it was 18. It was up there, but he's, you know, but the good thing about this team is the parts fit, and that's hard to do in this era because, you know, sometimes you don't know what you're getting a little bit, and sometimes, but this team has really gelled together so far, and I've been really impressed with that.
We talked about UNLV football in Boise. UNLV basketball in Boise has had some pretty good games over the years. We're here at Mountain West Media Day last year in the league.
Last year.
I think you guys are going to have a phenomenal basketball league where you're going. But are you going to miss it? I mean, this has been a long time, you know, league for you guys. You're taking some guys, you know, with you. But
yeah, no doubt.
New Mexico, UNLV, not going there.
I mean, it's a big part of my life. And to get to experience these great venues. I mean, that's the thing I always have raved about, is the places you get to go play and the atmospheres and the fan bases. And the, I mean, it's awesome. And that's, as a competitor, yeah, it's hard. And sometimes you get, you know, some fans that get after you a little bit. But I appreciate it. And, you know, I think down the road I'll appreciate it more because of how it brings out the best in guys and the memories you get. And, you know, some of the great games we've had in Albuquerque with that hostile environment. And, you know, you can go down the list of everywhere you go, there's amazing environments and great coaches. And so, yeah, it is. And I haven't really reflected on it until today when people started saying it. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of crazy that, you know, it seems like yesterday that we moved from the WAC to the Mountain, and I was, you know, the new coach at Boise, and I was pretty convinced that I was going to need my old job at Gonzaga back because the coaches in this league, the places, and I'm like, there's no way we're going to be able to compete with some of these programs. And, you know, we just built it and built it and built it, and you look up, and 16 years later, it's crazy.
Now you get to compete with Gonzaga.
Well, that's tomorrow's problem.
Coach, we appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Good to visit with you.
There he is, Leon Rice, Boise State head coach. By the way, if you missed any of our conversations with the coaches at Mountain West Conference Media Day a couple weeks ago, they're all up at Steve Cofield. They're also on the UNLV Learfield podcast page. Eight college basketball games tonight, repping Mountain West Conference schools. Tomorrow, UNLV opens Rebels at the Thomas and Mack. Come on down here. We got all-you-can-eat specials, all-you-can-drink. We're giving away some of the all-you-can-eat specials. Lots of prizes. It's Ellis Island, front yard, right off of Cobalt. Good job by Jeff Parles, Mateo, back on the board, James. For everyone here, thanks for listening. Come on out. Watch Monday Night Football.